Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 66, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Jesenia Montanez of thelatinahomemaker.com. Jesenia has lots of great advice for us on so many different topics. I can't wait for you guys to hear this episode. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are thrilled to be chatting with Jesenia Montanez. Jesenia blogs about frugal living, recipes, homemaking, and travel adventures at thelatinahomemaker.com. She also works as a virtual assistant, helping businesses of all sizes at yourvagirl.com. Jesenia lives in the Amish country of central Pennsylvania with her husband and three kids. Jesenia is a book nerd, coffee addict, thrift shopper, and organizing junkie. She lives by the motto, family before laundry. Welcome to the show, Jesenia. We're so excited to talk with you today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Jesenia, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and then more about your blog and your business, how you got started?
Sure. We are actually a family of six. I am. It consists of my husband. I do have a stepson that lives with us part-time, and my three kids. And that's a almost 16-year-old daughter, 10-year-old son, and now a 1-year-old baby. We just had her birthday last week. And I started blogging. I actually had my first original blog back in 2006 or 2007, and I honestly don't remember because it was so short-lived that I never paid attention to that. And then in 2012, I decided to start another blog, and that was more of like a journal faith blog, just kind of more personal. And it was really a hobby for me. I just sort of did it sporadically. I did monetize it, but not the typical way. I had a hire me button on there, which I suggest to anyone that has a blog. If you offer a service, make sure you plug that in there. And so I was able to build my VA business through that blog. And then earlier this year, I decided that I wanted to have a blog that I could monetize. And that's where my current blog, The Latina Homemaker, started.
So, Jesenia, I know when you started The Latina Homemaker, you really focused right from the beginning on turning that blog into a business, and you grew it very quickly. I think you had over 100,000 page views in your first 6 months.
Yes. When I started that blog, my plans was to monetize it. It wasn't going to be a hobby blog, that was for sure. Probably somewhere between the fourth and fifth month, I hit that 100,000 page views. And for me, that was a goal that I had set from the very beginning. I still laugh about it today because I wrote that down on a piece of paper and thought, I want to reach that. I don't know why it was a big number to me, and I truly didn't think I would reach it at all because I never even got close with my old blog. But for me, it was something to work towards. So I set that goal for myself, and I think knowing that and seeing the numbers increase every month just kind of pushed me to just work harder to get there. Looking back now, I don't feel that it should be everyone's goal, because I think you can definitely monetize a blog even if you're not getting those big numbers. But for me, it was just sort of that motivation that I needed to get things going.
What do you think are the biggest factors that led you to reach that 100,000 monthly page views goal?
I think it was a combination of great content, and because everything that I wrote at the very beginning was evergreen content, and I wrote for the audience that I was trying to attract. My goal is to reach out to busy moms. That's who I want to write for. Everything that I write on my blog is a resource for the busy mom. So I knew that busy moms, they want to budget. Some moms want to be stay-at-home moms. They want frugal living tips, recipes, easy recipes. So I knew that I needed to write content that would attract that audience, and that it needed to be evergreen, because I wanted to tap into Pinterest. We all know Pinterest is a huge traffic driver, and I knew that I had to tap into that because I wasn't going to be getting the typical organic traffic that, blogs that have been established are getting. So I knew that it had to attract people in order to get them in.
That's great advice. And can you share a few more tips about how you use Pinterest to increase your blog traffic?
Sure. I'm basically, the bulk of my traffic is probably coming from the group boards that I belong to. I've grown my Pinterest in a short amount of time, but I'm still probably, I think I'm close to 6,000 followers now, but it's not huge. What I did from the very beginning is that I started contacting group boards, and typically you'll find in the group boards, it'll tell you, hey, you know, you can join by emailing this person. It'll give you instructions. And I joined group boards that I knew were relevant to what I wrote. Not just any random one, not just ones that had big followings, but ones that I knew I could join and actually tap into that audience that I was looking for. So by doing that, I immediately had access to all these people that I typically wouldn't have access to because I didn't have the social media following that a bigger blogger would have. And that really, really helped. Now, there have been changes with Pinterest recently, and I know a lot of people complain because they kind of sort of, you know, saw their traffic go down a little bit, but I still think that Pinterest has so much potential and is still my biggest traffic driver today. So, but also diversify. I always say, you know, just don't put all your eggs in one basket, but Pinterest definitely was very good to me at the very beginning.
So we've heard from some other bloggers that on the big Pinterest group boards that are really active that you can pin multiple pins to that group board per day and kind of schedule those out. Is that part of your strategy with the group boards?
I do pin throughout the day. I currently don't use, I know there's a lot of bloggers that are using Viral Tag, and I did try that at one point. My strategy may not be the most time efficient one, but I do pin myself. I pin live. But what I do is I actually create a secret boards where I have a board will be like my Monday board, and I'll have certain content that I want to go out on Monday, and I'll spread that out through all my group boards. So I'll get up early in the morning, and I'll do maybe 10 minutes real quick. I'll pin throughout some boards, and then, you know, sometime in the middle of the day, I'll do it again, and then in the evening. Now, what that does is I know that I'm not repeating the same content because Tuesday, I have a different board that I tap into. I am looking into doing more scheduling with that because I know it's not always going to work if I'm not home. But for me, it's worked great because I can actually pin and then I look at my analytics and I'll see what times are bringing the biggest traffic from Pinterest. So I know that if I'll pin at 7 o'clock at night and I'm noticing there's not a lot of, you know, traffic coming in, I'll kind of wait it out. I'll say, okay, well, I'm not going to continue pinning right now because there's not a lot of people on Pinterest. Well, maybe an hour later, I'll see it spikes up, and that's when I'll continue pinning. So I kind of use that because it helps me instead of just sort of scheduling and then not really having any idea what time these people are coming in. I know Pinterest has analytics as well that you can look into, but for me, that strategy has been working. And I don't pin, like, you know, large amounts of pins throughout the day. Like I said, I have my boards and it's just schedule a few throughout the day and morning, afternoon, and usually in the evening. And sometimes sporadically throughout the day too, if I just want to get on there and have do it for fun.
So do you see a trend in general? When are most of the people on Pinterest? What are your hot times for pinning in general?
For me personally, I notice around maybe 8 and 9 o'clock at night, and then it'll pick up again probably around midnight. Not that I'm necessarily always on there, but if I happen to be up, I'll notice that spike as well. And I think it's because there's a difference between East and West Coast. So I'm thinking that maybe around that time, West Coast folks are on and they're probably, you know, on Pinterest and looking at the feed. So it kind of varies. So I think you also have to look at where your traffic is coming from. I mean, if you're getting a lot of West Coast traffic, you know, you obviously want to pin things or schedule them a little later because that's when you'll get those. I know I had a blogging friend that mentioned to me that she was getting traffic from, you know, overseas. So she was scheduling pins at 2 a.m. because she was getting traffic from that. So, you know, you really have to kind of look at the locations where you're getting your traffic from and base it off of that. But for me, definitely nighttime and sometimes really early in the morning. Because if I schedule my pins really early in the morning, I'll notice that people see it on their feed first, so then I'm getting that traffic from that.
As far as those secret boards that you're using go, could you walk us through that a little bit more? Like, once you go through one Monday, do you delete those from that secret board and replenish it for the next week? Or
yeah, I understand what you're saying. No, I actually I actually reuse that. That's set. So I know that Mondays, that's what I'll pin. And what I'll do is, so that it's not repetitive every Monday, every few weeks, I'll swap the days of the week. So I'll just say, okay, Monday, you're going to become Tuesday board now. So I never have to redo the board at all. So, and if you use Viral Tag, that's another great way for you to schedule your pins from. I mean, just create a board and schedule directly off your secret board so you don't have to keep searching for your stuff. And another strategy that, you know, is not just from my secret boards. I actually do pin from my top repins. And let me explain that. What I do is I'll go into my Google Analytics and I'll check my referrals and I'll see where my, you know, my Pinterest traffic is coming from. And it might be someone else that repins something of mine. Well, I'll repin off of theirs. For whatever reason, Pinterest likes that. So if you have a pin that's gone viral or whatever, repin from that. Even though that's not your original pin, meaning it's not, you know, you're not pinning off your own board, repin from that because for whatever reason, it'll show up more. Like I'll get more action off of that. And I noticed that lately I've been having to do that more because of all the changes with the algorithms and everything in Pinterest. So, and you can get that information right off your Google Analytics. Like, if you just go into referrals, go into Pinterest, and you'll see your pins, the top ones that are coming in.
That is a really smart tip, and I have never heard that before, but it makes sense. It's kind of the same way Facebook has done that with, you know, sharing a popular post from somebody else's page. But the fun thing about this is that you're still promoting your own content. So, you know, you're just making sure it shows up in more people's feeds. So that's really smart.
Correct. Yep.
With the secret boards, I think I understand your strategy of, you know, having different pins of your content and they're all laid out each week. So you're continuing to pin your evergreen content. But can you repin from a secret board? It was initially on a secret board, but you can hit repin and go ahead and then pin that on a public board?
Yes, you can. Okay. Yes. And it will show up. Or what you can do is if you have a secret board and you know which ones you want to pin that day, it'll just kind of be a reminder for you to do it on off your regular boards. I mean, if you prefer to do it like that, I know some people don't like pinning off secret boards because they're saying, well, you know, I have 100 pins, but it's a secret board, so what does it matter? You can do it. So I know people that do a spreadsheet where they know, hey, such dates, I'm, you know, or such day of the week, I'm going to pin this thing. Or they'll use a secret board and they'll know, okay, these are the pins that I'm, you know, want to pin today. I'll just go to my blog board. Because if you don't have a blog board, you should make sure that you pin it off of that. So you can do it either way. And I've done it off of my blog board or my secret board. But for me, the secret board is just easier. So I know I don't have to think about it. I just kind of do it. And within minutes, I have stuff repinned out. But yes, you definitely can repin off of that.
And by blog board, you mean a Pinterest board where every single post that you do on your blog gets pinned to that blog board.
Correct. And I would say evergreen. And I know there's some bloggers that don't necessarily have evergreen that still pin things like that to their blog board, but that's what I personally repin or pin to that board. It's all my evergreen content. Because it's just simple and it's right there. And call it the best of, you know, whatever your blog name is. That's what I do. And that should be your first one. I mean, if you want to promote anything, you want to promote yourself first. And, you know, then the next one could be seasonal stuff. And then the next boards could be boards that are relevant to the content on your site. So I know some people do alphabetical order and things like that. For me, it doesn't make sense. If I write about frugal living, I want my frugal living board to be up top because I want people to follow that first. So, you know, definitely make them relevant to your readers, who you're trying to attract.
That's great advice. You also work as a virtual assistant. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how you've been able to grow that side of your business?
Sure. And actually, I should clarify, and I probably should have beforehand, I'm phasing that out, or I have actually pretty much phased that side of the business out, but I'm definitely okay talking about it because it's one of the questions I get a lot from my readers that are looking into becoming a virtual assistant. I actually was doing virtual assistant work before I even knew what it was. I knew that I was working from home. I did it for a few nonprofits and people locally, but I never actually knew that that's what it was called. I knew virtual assistants existed, and I always thought of them as a secretary. So I was like, oh, what I do, it's not necessarily that, so I'm not that. But it kind of evolved from there, and there was a point where I knew, hey, I wanted to contribute to my household. How can I do this? And you know, through the advice of a friend, just kind of took it from there, and just having other people reach out to me, you know, slowly hearing that I do this for a living, it just kind of grew. VA work is definitely something that is based on, I would say, word of mouth. I think that once you do a great job for someone, they will refer you to the next person and the next person. And before you know it, you can grow it really quickly. It's just a harder time getting that first client, I think. And like I mentioned, for me, with my last blog, when I say I monetized it, it wasn't necessarily the blog, but I had a hire me button in there. And so I had clients find me through my blog. And one of the things that I always say is diversify your income streams. Don't focus so much on the numbers, because you might think, well, if I get 200,000 page views, I'll make X amount of dollars in ad revenue. But the reality is you could be making money from a service you provide or a product that you sell. And you don't have to have huge page views in order to do that. You know, I was making a full-time income from my VA job. So it's definitely something that can be done and can go in conjunction with your blog as well. I phased it out simply because for me, it was a lot to handle, and I enjoy writing much more. I rather do freelance writing and blogging. For me, that's where my passion is. So I knew that I wanted to shift my focus to that. But it's definitely something that another, you know, any blogger can do, or anyone, period, can grow online.
When did you start the VA business? How long have you been doing that before you recently started to phase that out?
Oh, wow, for many, many years. I would say over 10 years. And like I said, it wasn't necessarily called what I had it as far as, your VA girl. That was actually maybe about a little over a year ago. For me, it was just doing it locally and in between jobs. I mean, there was times where I was in between a job and I was doing that. I did a lot of translating and interpreting. There's so many things you can do as a VA. And, you know, a lot of people kind of focus more on the simple things and simple tasks. But there's, if you do web design, if you do, if you know another language, anything, I mean, that's something you can do virtually to assist someone else. So there's so many possibilities. But yeah, I did it for a long time, but on and off for a long time. I did have a full-time job outside the home. But once that started really growing, I sort of started shifting my focus then to the blog. So then I had to slow that down. So I never got to see the full potential where it could have gone. But yeah, I was making a full-time income though.
Well, I guess the advantage of blogging for income compared to virtual assisting is the blogging can eventually become somewhat of a passive type income. I mean, you still have to work at it, but it can be generating income when you're off the clock. Whereas if you're a virtual assistant, it's hourly, so you've got to be, tied down for those hours. So I can see how when your blog took off, it made sense to focus in a different direction. So with the various types of income that you have, sponsored posts and ad revenue and maybe affiliate revenue, what's sort of like a general breakdown? What are the percentages of how it earns money?
Well, I'll give you an example. The first month that I made, because I did share this on my blog, that I made over $1,000, that was in July. I was in my fifth month of blogging. And at that point, it looked very different than what it looks like now. It was 75% of that was sponsored posts. 20% of that, more or less, was ad revenue. And then like 5% was affiliate income. I don't make a whole lot there. Now, fast forward to today, and it's probably more like 50% of ad revenue. It's getting higher now, my ad revenue, with my traffic increasing. And sponsored posts, again, it's probably close to 50%. I would say maybe 2% of that now is like affiliate income. So it's now I see the shift changing with the whole, obviously my ad revenue, the passive income is now getting greater, which is nice. You know, obviously we want to make money while we're not doing anything, but that's sort of the split that I have here right now. And I did do like a couple freelancing gigs, but nothing major. And I don't necessarily make that blog income. I don't call it that just because it's usually separate.
Thank you for sharing that, Jesenia. That's really interesting to hear. And it makes sense that, you know, as your traffic has grown, then of course you're making more money from that, from just your ad revenue. So that's really exciting to hear. In terms of the sponsored posts, do you have any tips you could share with other bloggers who maybe want to dive into that as an area of income?
Sure. When you first start in, I would say just to kind of get that experience under your belt, apply with the blog networks that are out there. There are some fabulous ones, Pollinate Media, Mom It Forward. There is one that I really, really love is Social Fabric. They're amazing. I really love them. And it's, I mean, basically what I did at the beginning is I signed up for these networks, and then I just would apply for opportunities and hope that I would get picked for one. And once you get in and once you start getting an opportunity, make sure that that first one you land, I mean, do an amazing, incredible job. Have awesome photos. Follow all the instructions. I mean, really, really, really just try to do a fabulous job. And what will happen is once they see that, they're going to then contact you for more. And that's what I noticed. I noticed that once I did a few, and I could use those as an example and say, look, this is what I've done for you, or this is what I've done for this brand. I mean, even if you want to contact brands yourself, this is what I've done. It's kind of like your portfolio. You know, you can say, you know, I'm capable of doing a good job at this, and that'll help you build that up. Sponsored posts are a great, great way for a blogger to make a decent income. It really is. You want to be careful that you don't have too many on your site. I find that, and it's hard. I mean, it really is. For me, I feel like I've had a lot this month, but it's because it's that time of the year. Brands are pushing because it's the end of the year. They want to invest and advertise their products. So, you know, it's a little bit tougher, but try not to do that too frequently. I would say that if you write a sponsored post, make sure you cushion that with non-sponsored content, not just for yourself and your blog, I mean for your readers. And also make sure that your sponsored content is just as good as your evergreen. I mean, I have sponsored content that has gone viral and you wouldn't think that, but you know, when you read it, you're not thinking, oh, she's trying to sell me a product. I'm just showing you how I use the product in my everyday life. You know, whether it was a recipe or product that my kids use, this is what we did with it. Make sure that you know what your audience is looking for and shift that towards them and tell them a story and make it personal.
That's very good advice for sponsored posts. Jesenia, you obviously have a lot going on with your business, but you also have a small baby at home. So how do you manage to fit in work with a small infant and other children that you're caring for? How does it all mesh together?
Yes, that's a balancing act. It's what I do is I wake up earlier than the rest of the household. I mean, for me, when everyone's sleeping, that's when I can get a lot done. No interruptions, no one calling me for anything, no screaming babies. And basically, once they're up, I mean, we homeschool as well. So once the kids are up, we're basically trying to juggle the house, do the laundry, get stuff done. You know, I might do a little bit of work in between and check emails and answer and things like that. But a lot of my work happens early in the morning and later at night. Once my husband gets home, he works late hours as well. So once he's home, he can take over and he'll take care of the baby and, you know, make sure the kids have what they need. And then I'll get that time again to work uninterrupted. And it also helps to just get out of the house. I mean, I work from home, but sometimes I feel more productive if I just go to a local coffee shop and just work for chunks of 4 or 5 hours. I mean, I can get so much done. And I think that helps as well. So it's nice when my husband's like, you know what, just go get out the house, you know, here, get some coffee. And I mean, it really, really helps to just get some stuff done, you know, without any interruptions from the kids. So that's basically how I do it. I think just if you're going to do it with kids, you're going to have to just juggle around their schedule. And for me, it's important to do that. I don't want to take away from their time. You know, blogging is something I enjoy doing, but at the end of the day, I'm a mom first. And for me, I don't want to do this if it's going to take away from them. And I don't want them to ever feel like my blog comes before them. So
I love that perspective. We completely agree with that perspective on things. And it sounds like you and your husband make a great team when it comes to, you know, getting things done. So that's awesome. So with all of the things you are juggling and growing your blog, do you have any tools that you use on a regular basis that help you to run your blog or help you to stay organized and productive?
One tool that I use online is PicMonkey. I'm sure you've heard of it. I love it. I mean, it's how I create my images for Pinterest. It's how I edit my photos. It's so user-friendly. I love it. I mean, if you can't afford anything right now, definitely invest in PicMonkey. And they have a free version. I mean, you don't have to actually pay anything, but I think their paid version is like $5. And as far as other, you know, tools that I use, I'm old school, so I'm more like I write things down. I don't have like the fancy, you know, editorial calendars or anything. I'm more pen and paper type of gal. But just try to, I would say, at least have a plan for the month. Just have, even if you don't have your post written out, at least have an idea of what you're going to talk about, what's in season. If you know Christmas is next month, hey, you know, start getting those posts out, those recipes and things like that that you know people want to read about, but at least have a general idea. I would say don't wake up and then say, what am I going to write about today? Because odds are you won't do it. And I know because I've been there, I've done that. So definitely have some type of organizational system going on, even if it's just your, you know, an old school planner and something you can just write down on and jot notes. But at least that's what helps me.
I read something online about some of the research that you did when you were launching your blog to really treat it like a business. Do you have some ebooks or regular books that you could recommend to others to help them grow their business?
Sure. Actually, it's the one book that I recommend to anyone, and I'm sure you've heard of this one before. It's How to Blog for Profit Without Selling Your Soul. It's by Ruth Sukup of Living While Spending Less. It's an amazing book. When I read that book, I would literally take a chapter and I would focus on that chapter and try to implement what I learned. And you will get tangible results. You just have to follow what she says. You know, it's not one of those where you just read and go, okay, yeah, I learned it, and now what? You have to follow it. But it's so much information, great information. And she just updated it recently. So there's even more stuff now than before. And she even has some case studies and testimonials of other bloggers. So it gives you an idea that, yes, you can make a full-time income blogging. I mean, this is probably going to be my first month where actually what I would consider a full-time income, and I've reached it. And I'm thinking to myself, I would have never thought in less than a year that I would be in this position. And I know that it's not the norm, but it can be done. If you treat it like a business, it definitely can be done. Some other great tools, well, these you will find online. YouTube videos, How to Blog Hangout, is actually by Kelly and Crystal. And I believe you had Kelly on the show.
Yes.
Recently. Yes, three boys and a dog. She's a riot. Love her. And also Crystal from Crystal and Comp. And they are amazing. They have some great resources. They have a Facebook group that's awesome. So many bloggers that support each other in there. And they also have a VIP forum as well, I believe. So it's, again, there's so many resources out there. And if you can't find it, just Google it, YouTube it, or ask someone in a group. I mean, that's what I would do. If I didn't know something, I just asked. And if I didn't, couldn't get someone to answer, I just figured it out somehow. And there's probably somebody that's been there and probably has the answer for you on Google or some website or something. But those were my tools. Those were my big ones. Definitely helped me a lot at the beginning.
Thank you so much for sharing those.
Jasenia, I think you brought up a very important point that you not only digested that book, but you took it piece by piece and gave yourself time to implement. And I'm sure that implementing chapter by chapter, piece by piece, instead of reading the whole thing and trying to implement a whole book at one time, you just made it that much more doable for yourself. And I think that's something we can all learn from. Take that one piece of advice, then do it. When you know how to do that, move on to the next instead of just constantly consuming information.
Thanks. You can get very overwhelmed if you try to do several things at once. And one of the things that I want to clarify is that I did this in a short amount of time, but like I said, I had a blog prior to this. So I didn't start a blog. I mean, I did start a blog from scratch, but it was, I had certain knowledge already in place. I knew how to start a blog. I knew how to, you know, mess with the plugins and do all the little technical things behind the scenes. So it wasn't necessarily that I was starting from the very beginning from someone that had no knowledge. I had learned how to set up a blog. By the way, Blogging with Amy, which I think her site is now called Amy Lynn Andrews, another amazing resource out there if you want to learn how to even build a blog. That's how I learned. I never paid anyone to do a blog for me. I actually did mine myself. I didn't hire a designer or anything, and I'm hoping to get that redone now. But I didn't spend any money to do this. So, you know, it definitely can be done, but take your time. Don't overwhelm yourself. I went through a period that I did get overwhelmed because I was trying to do this so quickly, and I saw my numbers growing, and I remember my husband approaching me and saying, hey, you have to slow down. Like, are you realizing that you're really, like, really getting into this, and, you know, you're neglecting certain things? And that's when I knew I had to take a step back. I don't want this to be, you know, my priority. And so don't get overwhelmed. I mean, it will come, it will happen, and for some it happens quicker than others, but it doesn't mean it won't for you. And in the meantime, you can make an income. You can make, you know, money from your blog, but it doesn't necessarily have to look like the same way I'm doing it or some other bloggers are doing it. You know, get creative. If you have a product, sell it. If you have an Etsy shop, promote it. I always say it's better to have 1,000 loyal readers and followers than to have 100,000 that, you know, maybe you can get only 1% of them to buy your next book or next product. You know what I mean? So don't get so caught up in the numbers.
That's excellent advice. Jesenia, we've learned so much from talking with you today. As we wrap up, do you have either a funny or adorable mom moment you can share with us?
Oh, sure. I have plenty of those now, especially with the baby. But one of the things that she's been doing lately, and it's so I find it funny, but she, I don't know if anyone's seen this, but there's a Microsoft commercial that has like this Korean pop group that comes on, and I don't understand anything they're saying, but this is a very high beat, you know, commercial. And the minute it comes on, she just starts dancing and, you know, just swaying. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm an Apple girl. You need to stop. She loves this commercial. And it's such a riot because she's like, you know, barely able to keep herself up. I mean, she just started walking. But I mean, this was maybe like a month ago she started doing this. And the minute it comes on, she'll stop everything she's doing and pop herself in front of the TV and just start dancing. So I just think it's funny. I it's just one of those moments where I'm like, okay, you know, just bring me back to reality. Yep, I'm a mom.
I guess you'll have to sign her up for a dance class at a very young age.
I know. Yeah.
Could you tell all of our listeners, could you give them your contact information so that they know where to find you?
I am at thelatinahomemaker.com, and you'll find all my social media information there as well. Stop, say hi. I do try to write back to everyone that comments as much as possible. I do miss some, and, you know, some posts I get a lot of comments and I can't keep up, but I do read everything. So, and if you have any questions, I mean, I have people email me with questions. I don't mind answering any questions at all. I am like an open book, so feel free to ask me anything, if, you know, anything specific regarding blogging or virtual assistant or anything like that. I would be glad to help.
Great. Thank you so much. This was lots of fun, and we really learned a lot.
Thanks for having me.
I think it's amazing what Jesenia was able to accomplish in such a short amount of time, all while keeping her family a priority. If you're looking for the show notes, head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/66. I hope you have a great day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.